Praise God. In just a moment, the men of valor will be putting some notes in your hands so that you can jump into lesson number 9 in the series on faith that we've been sharing with you. We had shared with you last week from Matthew chapter 8 that, the Lord willing, we would pick up at verse 5 of chapter 8 of Matthew today. And the Lord wasn't willing, so we're going another direction. But we will come back to verse 5 of chapter 8 of Matthew and pick up the teaching there. But the Lord gave me something different in direction this week. And it was a strange thing. I was in Waco, Texas, sitting at a funeral, and the Lord began to speak this to me. Roy, you would have liked this funeral. It was in a cowboy church, and Richard, Derek, there were probably 80 guys with their colors on, motorcycle riders there. It was good to see about 15, 20 guys with Bud's Harley t-shirts on and other guys with different Harley Davidson paraphernalia on. There were about 400 people for this funeral in the boonies outside Waco, Texas. And they had a country western singing group. And they had guitars and flutes and violins. And they were singing. Jesus be the Lord of all. And it was good. But at the end of the funeral, one of the guys that had been playing the synthesizer slipped over to the Hammond organ. And one of the singers in the ensemble they had reached and picked up a tambourine, and he started hitting a beat with the tambourine. The drummer picked up on it, and the organist started wailing. I have never, I mean, he was doing Chet Atkins style of organ playing. That organ was wailing, and they started singing "Will the Circle Be Unbroken." And I hadn't been able to get it out of my head since. I had never heard them swing "Will the Circle Be Unbroken" like that. They was kicking it. And I said, them good old boys got some soul in them. But I'm sitting there in the funeral service, and I was making some notes of things that were occurring. There were a couple of songs they sang that I was not real familiar with, and I thought they had good message. And the Lord said to me, he just began to speak to me about the message today. And, Lord, there's a funeral going on. We're saying goodbye to Bud. And the Lord doesn't seem to care what's going on when he decides to talk to you. So I just started making notes. And then yesterday I'm at a local business making a transaction. I'd started working on the transaction a couple of weeks ago, and they told me they had the absolute best deal they could do. And we had haggled with them, got the price down, got everything worked out. I went back in and I said, let's talk again. Picked up another $3,000. There you go. Because God is faithful. Yeah. A true believer never begs, never pleads, but they never leave money laying on the table. Because when they tell you it's the best, absolutely, they couldn't do any better. They can. Because they is trained to lie. And you is trained not to buy until the price is right. But I'm waiting for them to finish transacting and getting stuff done. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden the Lord just starts talking again. And so I turn the paperwork over that they were giving me, and I just start writing more notes. And by the time I get to the house, between Friday at the funeral and Saturday at the business, I've got notes. Not finished, but I've got notes. If you're ready, God will talk to you anytime, Brother John, of the day or night. But just be ready to hear. the difference between nominal Christians and sons of God is the sons of God hear His voice. And they're led by it to do what it says. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That doesn't mean other people aren't family. It just means sons represent. Christians plead the blood. I don't want to spend my life pleading blood. I want to spend my life representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords by living a victorious life. Not without its challenges. If you're a believer, challenges is a way of life. They will come. Okay, that's enough of the preliminaries. Let's get into the message. We're in lesson 9, and today is entitled Speaking Into Your Future. While all the people were at the funeral talking about the life that Bud had lived and the generosity that he had walked in and how he did things, I'm sitting there thinking of the many times he would call me and say, Jim, can we get together? And I need to talk to you. Well, when he said he needed to talk, that meant we were going to have a prayer meeting. And we'd meet in the parking lot of the Capitol Plaza. We met all kinds of places. We'd get together. We'd talk about what the devil was lying to him about, what was going on. We'd begin to pray. And it was wonderful to see him when opposition was against him, and we'd begin to pray, the power of God would come on him, and he'd begin to weep and pray in tongues and get an answer for the situations of life. And while they're talking about, you know, the time he gave him a trailer, the time he helped him get a job, the time he helped him do this, I'm thinking about the times we prayed together and saw God show up in the middle of every crisis that had came against his life. And the Lord began to talk to me about this message. And he did something that those of you who have been here a lot know doesn't occur a lot. I'm a New Testament person. In November the 14th, 2004, some of you remember my father died. And when my father died, I didn't want the will that was made out when we were babies. I didn't want the will that was made out before they got their last property and things. I wanted the most current will that my father had written because I wanted to know for sure what his will was for the distribution of his assets, where everything was to go. So I searched until I found the most current will, and that's the one that we went by. And it's the same. Our God had the Old Testament, which was the old will for the old way, and the old people of God. Then he has a new will, which is the new way and the new truth and the new life for his new children. Now, there is a move in the church for a lot of people to go back to become Jewish. They want to have Jewish slogans. They want to have Jewish names. I've been to some churches. I walked in, and they got big swords and wearing yarmulkes and somebody back there blowing a ram's horn, and they're trying to be Jewish. Give it up. You can't hang there. You just can't hang there. Be who you be, a child of the Most High God, an heir and joint heir with Christ Jesus, because you possess what they could never get under that covenant. The anointed Redeemer living in you, your hope of God's manifest presence. I don't want to be an Old Testament person. But there are types and shadows and there are illustrations and stories there that are life-changing. And today we'll touch on one of them. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. For by your words, whose words? For by my words, by your words, you will be justified, brought into right standing with God. Justified means just as if I'd never sinned. So it is your words that make you like you've never sinned. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Say the right thing, and you stand right before God. Say the wrong thing, and you stand before somebody else's throne. Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. Well, I just had to give them a piece of my mind. Hon, when you paint the sky blue with your words, you're damning yourself. and you're opening up a door of access to the wicked one to attack you. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. And right there beside life, you might make a note to yourself. He preserves his life, his health, his finances, his eternity, his place in God's family, because some people have, with the words of their mouth, changed their eternal destiny. Peter, I never knew him, and in that moment changed his eternal destiny. Did he get it right? Oh, yeah, he got it. But for a moment, he unplugged from the source of life. Proverbs 15:4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in that tongue crushes the spirit. One, it crushes the spirit of the person you just unloaded on, and it crushes yours. Most individuals, when you sit down with them, and Sister Gail, you really begin to get them to open up about their life, I find that for most people that I talk to, the darkest, most hurtful scars in their psyche are things that people said to them. When we were kids, stick and stone may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But the truth is, the biggest hurts of your life are usually words that somebody said that brought you down. But perversion in the tongue. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't speak that sexual stuff. I'm not into No, perversion here is to change the truth. You see, there is a true way the body is supposed to be used. Not following that true way the body is supposed to be honored and used is perversion. But perversion is not just a sexual term. Perversion means any time you subvert or change what is the true purpose or use. The true purpose and use of your tongue is to bring life, to bring health, to bring encouragement, to lift up people. It's not to put people down. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of. Now then, if you highlight, underline, there's some words here that you need to emphasize. In the power of. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue has the power to release death, has the power to release life. We're talking God's word here, and the wisest man of the old covenant is speaking, and he says, Nancy, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Say this with me. My tongue has power to release life, to release death. From this day forward, I choose life that I may live, and those I speak to may live. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, Pastor, how come it's only talking about the good side there? No, no, no. Those who love it will eat its fruit, whether you love it as a weapon or whether you love it as a tool of construction. My tongue was meant to be a tool of the Spirit to build people up. My tongue was meant to be a tool that a craftsman uses to uniquely shape the future and life and circumstance of those around me. Someone was experiencing physical symptoms in their body, and Lou and I are at County Line yesterday. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just got to stop for a minute and praise the Lord for them beef ribs. I sat down and I said, I'll have beef ribs. And the waiter, Johnny, says, you want two or three? I said, give me three. When he comes back with my food, I've got four. He says, somebody in the kitchen must know you. I said, a little higher up than that. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add extra ribs. He said, you got a bonus rib on yours. But we're in the parking lot of the county line, and God's no respecter of places. I said, can I lay hands on you and pray for you? I just right there in the parking lot laid hands on him, cursed the assignment of darkness against this person. No, it's not somebody from our church. Just curse the power of darkness and call them set free. And I expect a testimony of them being totally set free. You see, your tongue can speak life into a person who has encountered physical distress. Your tongue can speak life into a person that's encountered emotional, financial, any type of distress. Ethel, God anointed your tongue to be a life-giving connection to the throne of God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. All across our nation, you'll find high schools that are adorned with banners that this year's graduating class has got little slogans they put up on the wall, and these banners are all over the school, and they come down as the new year begins, and the new class starts putting up their banners. Do you remember what the banners were when you were in school? There's one that's popular that was, it's stolen from someone's writings. And you may recognize it. You may have even seen it up on the wall in your school as one of those, our class is saying this for the world to see. We're the class that's going to change the future. Yeah. But high schools are adorned with banners like this. The future is unwritten. Multitudes of graduating classes have had that quote given to them. The future is yet unwritten. And it's up to you what you're... I beg to differ. I want to tell you something. Your future is already written. If you will believe it, receive it, adhere to it, and celebrate it, it's already written. I am the healed of the Lord. I don't have to worry about that in my future. I am the blessed of the Lord. I don't have to worry about that in my future. When I am the redeemed of the Lord, and my future is bright because my sins are light. If you seize the promises of your new covenant, then your future is written in His promises. Your God shall supply all of your need according to the living standard of heaven. You shall lack no good thing. You can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability, and nothing shall be impossible for them that believe. Your future is written. Great peace have they whose mind is stayed upon the Lord, and nothing shall by any means offend them. Don't let someone tell you the future is yet unwritten. As a believer, your future is written in blood. Your future is written in God's promises. Your future is written in your new covenant. Lay hold of every one of the promises and change your world. Loving to hear your tongue form words can be the power of life or death going forth. You are the prophet of your future. Speak what God can bless, not what Satan can use to curse. The tongue will be the vehicle on which your future rides. You will bring good life or evil death with the words you release into your future. James chapter 3, verse 4. Look at the ships also, though they be so great and are driven by strong winds. He says, look how big a ship is. It's big. It's got sails, and the wind drives it. Yet the direction that ship goes is determined by that tiny rudder that steers the ship. Are still directed by a very small rudder, the tongue, which wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. You are the pilot of your future, directing the course of your craft. Your tongue is planning your future with the things you say today. So from James 3, your tongue steers the course, the direction of your life. James 3, 6, and the tongue, and if you make notes, note here, this is referring to the natural, unregenerated, untrained, untaught tongue. The natural tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and it is set on fire by hell. Most of the time, when you find words that just want to rip out of you, that's the time to bite your tongue, because when they want to rip out of you like that, it's usually not God that's inspiring that. It's the fire of the natural nature. That area of you that you haven't got all under the blood just yet. And it erupts at the wrong time. When somebody cuts you off in traffic. When somebody does something offensive to you right out in front of everybody. And you feel those words wanting to rip out. That's the part of your nature that hasn't been cleansed yet. That's the part of your nature that remembers every shucky darn you've ever heard. It's amazing how people can be so saved in prayer service and cut them off in traffic leaving the church, and they'll find words they didn't learn in here. But understand, by fallen nature, the tongue is evil. Why? Because it's part of a fallen race. And there's only one race in the earth, and it's called human. So understand this, humans. Your tongue is born evil. It has to be trained. You understand this when you get a cat. You got to train the wild out of it. You understand this with a dog. You got to train the wild out of it. If you're a parent, you really understand this with a child. Because that child comes out of the womb wild and crazy. And if you don't train it, it doesn't know where to go to the bathroom. You have to teach it. It doesn't know where to put food. You have to teach it. They'll be sticking peas in their ears and carrots in their nose. You got to teach them where everything goes, how everything works properly, not the way they're inclined to do it. I don't care how pretty the silverware is. You can put a red spoon beside that bowl. They're going to put their hands right in it. Your members have to be trained by the new word of the new covenant to perform in a way that is not normal. A child comes out of the womb and you don't have to teach it how to scream. You don't have to teach it how to complain, how to fuss. No matter how many times you try to tell them, Mama, Dada, they learn first. No. Who teaches them that word? What are you releasing into your future? What can you release with the words of your mouth? There's a blank line there for you to inscribe what God speaks to you. My words can shape or change the direction of my life. My words are the empowerment of my future. My words, when led by God and directed by the new covenant, can shape a magnificent destiny for me to inherit. Whatever you put on that line, let it be something that impacts you with the knowledge of how I form my words will determine the life I'm going to live in. Your tongue can clear the slate from the words of others. You remember that verse? The power of the tongue. With my tongue, I can render null and void what other people have said about me. Jordan, this promise of Isaiah 54:17 is powerful. I pray it over this congregation. I pray it this way. Father, I lift before you the people of Household Fellowship Church, they and their households. And I decree that every tongue rising in judgment against them, every curse, every incantation, every soulless prayer, every fleshly judgment, every work of evil arrayed against them is broken, powerless, cast down, null and void of effect. And I set them free from the judgment of others. You can speak that way because it's in the power of your tongue to clean the slate from what other people have tried to write on your life. And understand this, people is weird. People is weird. You know, I've been watching Brother Raymond, and I think he's a little too much pride. Let's all join together and pray that God bring him down and teach him a lesson so he doesn't get snared by that pride he's in. There's the idiots out there praying like that about you. And you know you got that weird relative that's already decided who you should bury or who your kids should marry or where you should live or where you should work. And they're praying, oh God, open their eyes to see that they... While you're trying to find God's plan for your life, after church one day, this was years ago, Fred Price, you either love him or you violently oppose him. Because Fred could cut with a word. One day after church, a woman comes up to him and says, I'm believing God and praying that your son will marry my daughter. And Fred, just like that, said, the devil himself wouldn't marry your daughter, and walked off. Sometimes you got to dig up people's prayers and words before they can get roots. Because all around you there are people praying their will for your life. And sometimes releasing curses and incantations against you. It's up to you. God said, your tongue got power. Lick that board clean of everything they said. He said, it's in the power of your tongue to say, Father, I curse, cast down, render null and void effect any word rising in judgment against me, my house, our future, our health, and our prosperity. Some of y'all have been around here long enough to remember Brother Dan Ellis, who was with us when we were in the wilderness. And Dan was a traveling musician, played the organ, and had come out of rock and roll and came to the Lord, hung out with us for a few years. He and his wife were conducting a tent revival in Ohio. And they didn't know, but something happened during that revival. And his wife, Elsie, who was a fair-skinned, attractive lady, began to get blotches on her skin and spots and sores. And they went to different ministers. They went to Shambach. They went to others trying to get prayer. And one day they happened to be back in this town doing a meeting, and a woman came to him after the service and said, a few years ago, y'all were in this town and held a tent meeting, and I and some other ladies were practicing witchcraft at the time, and we came to that meeting, and we didn't like looking at your wife, and we put a curse on her, and I want to apologize for it. All that time, they had the power not to pray and ask God to do something about it. Now, when they found out what it was, they cursed it and cast it down. But she could have gone without suffering for those 2 or 3 years with skin and complexion problems and blots and blemishes on her skin. They could have gone without that if they had used the power of their tongue to decree to be null and void of effect any tongue. You don't know what weird people is doing out there talking about you. They don't like your car. They don't like your house. They don't like that you got a prettier outfit on than they do. And people will be weird. And the devil is just waiting for any weirdo to say anything that he can ride on to attack you. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This is the peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition, is the heritage of the servants of the inheritance. God is saying this is an inheritance before Jesus was raised from the dead, so that you have an inheritance. Of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. That this is that which I impart to them as their justification. He's saying this in a time where there was no justification, where there was no righteousness. But he is prophesying into your future through a man who was willing to let his tongue be used to inscribe a promise that applied to no one alive on the face of the earth. But God looked down through time and said, someday Sister Willie's going to need this power, and I'm going to put it in the book now in advance of her arrival. You have an inheritance that he prophesied. You have an authority and ability with your tongue, the power of your tongue, to wipe away what other people have said about you, are saying about you, or will say about you. You got a couple of lines to inscribe what we just shared with you means to you. You must speak the words that release God's system and power. You must speak the words that do God's works. It's your inheritance. It's your vindication that God has given to you as a child of the Most High God, an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. Friday, it belongs to me to speak words that change my world. God is waiting on you to speak. This is something that I want everyone to recognize today, because Rudy, a lot of people are praying, God, will you do this? God, will you do that? A lot of people are thinking, God, when are you gonna? Some people are even saying it out loud. I don't know when God's gonna. God is waiting for you to speak, because God does not have authority in the earth save three channels that he expressed that he reserved to himself authority to act in. And mostly that pertains to you and people coming against you. But God said, I give you authority. And God said that to Adam. You can decree a thing. You can establish truth. You can make your way bright. But yet people sit around praying, God do this, God do that, God do this. And God said, Raymond, you can speak to your job. God said, Kennard, you can speak to your future. He said, Jordan, you can speak to your finances and tell it what to do. Robert, God has empowered your tongue to release and to change things in the world. And that goes for both Roberts. In fact, it goes for all three Roberts. But Satan also waits, hoping for wrong or negative words out of your mouth that he can use. God's word lays out a life example of the power of words under a lesser covenant with less powerful promises. Now, you remember Romans 8:6 says you have a better covenant with better promises. But under a lesser covenant with lesser promises, what were they able to achieve? Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. He was led into the valley of the shadow of death. There was a shadow of death on that valley. A lot of people had died there. And it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about. Now, maybe you've never thought that God is going to come to you and say, Demetrius, I'd like to take a stroll in the graveyard. Walk around all the bones and check them out. Knee bone, chin bone, skull. Don't go singing now. Knee bone connect to the thigh bone connect, because they wasn't connected. Just a lot of bones. Well, Pastor, I don't believe God would lead me into a desolate place of death and destruction. He would if he thought you was big enough to do something about it. Patrick, if he thought you were willing to listen and to speak his word, he'll lead you into hell itself so you can change it and release captives. But don't listen to these lying freaks that call themselves preachers telling you sometimes God's got to bring you down before he can bring you up. God don't bring you down. Don't bring me down. And it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. It's not only a boneyard, but it's a dry, bleached boneyard. Life has long since gone. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Sometimes God asks you questions he knows the answer to see if you know the answer to. Because sometimes God is setting you up for an opportunity to promote yourself with the answer you give. He was giving this man of God the opportunity to promote himself into God's representative. Because just as he was going to speak life to these dead, dry bones, he would also speak life to generations of people who would read the words that God gave him to write. And I answered, "O Lord, you know." You ain't said nothing when you tell God he knows. God knows what he knows. He also knows what you don't know, but is giving you the opportunity to enter into understanding. Forget about trying to figure out where God's at and learn to understand where he's put you at. Again, he said to me, "Prophesy." Now, if you highlight and note, this is prophecy number one. "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life." Now, some people just had a thought. Well, Pastor Jim, if God ever came to me and said, "Say this, la-da-da-da-da-da-da," I'd say it. Would you? God's given you lots of words. "Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established." God has said, you can change your world with the words of your mouth. Well, I want him to come and say something special to me that I'm supposed to say. Hun, if your tongue has been trained to say what he's already said in his word, then you'll be equipped to say what he says in your ear. Well, not in your ear, he'll speak it in your spirit. Again, he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Understand this, the bones remain dead until the man said, "I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinew on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come to life, and you will know that I am the Lord." Who was going to know that he was the Lord? The ones that were raised up or the one that was speaking? There's a lesson here. Yes, the ones that were raised up would know that it was the Lord that did it. But God is saying, Ezekiel, you need to know that I'm the Lord and that your words are with power. So I prophesied as I was commanded. God has said to every born-again child of God, speak the word only.
Yes.
Speak the word only. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinew were on them, and flesh grew, and skin. And Hollywood can't create computer-generated effects like this. Flesh covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, second prophecy, prophesy to the breath. Who is he prophesying to now? He's prophesying to the wind. He is doing Genesis 1, 26 and 28. He's taking authority over everything that moves. And he's speaking to the wind, the breath, to come into these people. First, he prophesies to the bone. Now he prophesies to creation itself. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, the power of life, the energizing factor that they need. Because being flesh is not enough. You got to have life in you. This, again, is another lesson. It's not the physical life that you need. It's the life of the breath of God that you need. Prophesy unto a man and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God. Why didn't he say to him, say, thus says Ezekiel? Church, get this. This is something you can write in the margin. If God gives you words to say, you become God's hand extended. You can speak as God into those things that God has given you his word to say. When you speak and say, rise and be healed by the name of the blood of the Lamb, that's God's word flowing through God's vessel. Therefore, God has been released into that situation. The devil wants to come to you and say, Diana, now, don't say that because you're going to have to make that good. No, no. If I'm saying what God has said, I'm speaking for God. Get this, church. If I'm saying what God has said, I'm speaking for God into that situation. So God said to a man, say this. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So now we've got him first prophesying to the bones, now prophesying to creation, and creation is working together with him under his authority to bring life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, so they came to life and stood on their feet an exceeding great army. You can prophesy to people. You can prophesy to creation. But understand this. Sometimes, Asia, one word is not enough. You'll speak a word into a situation, and then there's a progressive word that needs to be spoken in that situation to bring it to fullness. Let's break this life lesson down a little bit. Man is put into a challenging opportunity or a challenge by God. In verse 1, the hand of the Lord by the Spirit, man is set in the middle of a hopeless mess. Verse 2, dead dry bones, where life, hope, ability is long since gone. Verse 3, God asks man for his opinion, and man is diminished by the challenge. He has no answer. But we have an answer in our New Testament. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. Nothing shall be impossible for me because I believe. All things are possible to me if I believe. Verse 4, God tells man to prophesy. speak God's word into the dry bones of a valley of death. Not just one prophecy, but in stages as the obstacle changes. You do not get in trouble with one act, and sometimes you do not get out of trouble with one act. Be willing to speak what God has given you to say when He prompts you to say it, no matter what you have previously said on the situation. And the Lord said this to me while I was sitting in that funeral. Ask the people, what dry bones are in your valley today? Can you boldly speak the words of your new covenant promises that God has given you into the dead, dry, lifeless bones of your dreams, of your finances, of your health, of your ministry call, of your family members? Well, Pastor, how did I do that? Let's start at the bottom of the list. You got a family member that you've been waiting to see God activated in their life. What do? You go to the Word of God. Father God, you promised me in Acts that if I believe and are immersed into you, I and all my house will be redeemed. They're my blood kin. I lay hold of them today and I prophesy. Whatever their name is, you know their name. Edwin, I prophesy to you today. God's word has said you will be saved, and I decree you will be born again in this life. That's how you activate the promises of God. But Pastor, you don't understand. They're in drugs, they're in pornography, they're in prison, they're in... Jeremiah says to you in the 31st verse, I believe, the 31st chapter, I believe, the 17th verse, and your sons and your daughters shall return from their captivity. So you whip it out again. Jones stands up and says, I decree by the name and the blood of the Lamb that whoever, whatever relative it is, if it's blood, it's a family. If they're adopted, they're family. I say that captivity is falling from you and you're returning. And now I bring you to the New Testament. It is written, because I believe and I'm immersed into God, all of my household shall be redeemed. Therefore, I decree your salvation. Well, Pastor, what I do then? Nada. Praise God that it's done. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to call and say, I've been praying for you and I've been prophesying. They ain't going to understand what you're saying. Praise God for the answer. Praise God that it's done. From that day forward, thank God that all of your house is redeemed. Well, Pastor, what about ministry call? How do I prophesy to that? Father, it is written, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You called me. You put this on me. Therefore, you will never take back what you've given. That call is still there. So I ask for life and breath to come into that. Ministry call, come alive in me. Ministry call, rise up in me. I speak into earth and into creation, and I decree, creation, you are working together to perform the will of God for my life. Now get busy. Well, Pastor, why do I do that? Because there may be things out there that have been holding up your call and what God wants you to do, and by invoking nature into it, everybody and everything has to begin to cooperate with your call. Pastor, how to do it with health. You lay your hand on your body and you say, body, hear the word of the Lord. It is written, with his stripes you were made whole. I judge you healed. I judge you whole. I judge you sickness free. And I decree eternal life floods into every cell and tissue and fiber of my being. You've got to be willing to prophesy into the dry bones in your life, because if a man with a lesser covenant, with lesser promises, not even born again, could creatively speak the words of the Lord, then you, as a member of his family, can speak the words of the Lord and change your future. The dreams that God has given you, prophesy to them. The finances that have seemed to evade you, prophesy them and tell them to come to you. I decree by the name and the blood of the Lamb, all things are working together for my good. Thus saith the Lord God concerning me. Speak His promises into any lifeless situation of your life. Call life back into that situation. Find His word on it. Speak His word only. Expect the performance of the prophecy you've given. Job 22:28 says, Thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. You have been anointed with the ability to decree anything that God has promised and expect it to be manifest. Remember lesson 8, the lesson was redeeming faith last week. We stopped at verse 4, but in verse 8, the centurion says, Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. It's still an old covenant situation, but there's a new sheriff in town, the man, Yeshua HaMashiach. Are you ready, willing, and able to address the boneyards of your life? To speak new covenant words only, and life will come to the hopeless, dead, dry bones of your life. Church, miracles happen. We just got through all three pages of notes. Church, miracles happen because if an unborn again, unregenerate man under a lesser covenant with lesser promises could speak to that boneyard and bring life to it, then John can speak to any dry bones in his life, in his past or in his future, and decree what God has said about it. Nature nudges him, says, get busy. Church, I want to encourage you today. The word of God in your mouth is powerful, but it requires three things. One, it must be His word. Two, it must be released for the purpose for which that word was sent. And number three, you must expect it to come to pass. Well, Pastor, what if I'm not sure? Ezekiel wasn't. He didn't say, sure, God, I know they can live. He said, I ain't even going to get caught up in this. You know what's going on here because your homeboy don't know what's going on. This should bring hope alive in you. Phoebe, sometimes I don't know what's going on. But I do know this. If my God brought me to that situation, then Wendelin, God thinks I'm able to handle it. But Pastor, them bones is dead. They're lifeless. They're bleached. They're cracking from the heat that's been on them. There ain't no life been there in a long time. There may not have been life in your finances for a long time. In your relationships, in your health. It doesn't matter what the boneyard is. You're at that boneyard with the authority of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 28 that says to you, you can rule over it. You can reign in it. That says to you in Proverbs 22:28, you shall decree a thing, and the thing you decree will be established. And illumination, light, will shine upon your way that this is how God works. God brought a man to a hopeless situation and said, talk to it. Not see if you can bring a medical clinic out here and maybe they can do something. No, man, talk my words, not yours. Because your answer says you ain't believing. Can't shine God on. Well, you know, Lord. No, you can't shine God on. Just say, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. Now, this judgment has come. This sentence has come. This trial has come. This debt has come. This hurt has come. This pain has come. This prognosis has been given. And go to your new covenant and find the promise. Because the Word of God says there are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and to God, that by these promises. You might become a partaker of the divine nature. Ezekiel became a partaker of the divine nature when he said what God said. God was represented in his words, and a miracle occurred. So when Derek speaks God's word into a situation, expecting God to perform his word, he is cooperating with God in that moment and has taken on the divine nature. Now, some of y'all are going to be looking real good with the divine nature on you. Tim Kittia, God has called you to this season. Well, Pastor, why am I facing all these dry bones in my life? So you can talk the talk, and they can get up and walk the walk. From this day forward, I decree over you that your finances are changing because you're speaking into them. It is written, thus saith the Lord God, my God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. Therefore, need, you are out of here. Abundance, get yourself in here. Concerning your health, you're speaking to your body. Thus says the Lord God Almighty, with his stripes I was healed. Since I was healed, I is healed. If I is healed, I refuse to be sick. Sickness, skedaddle, boogie, bominos. You have the ability to recreate the dryness of your life in whatever area that dryness has come. And if you have to prophesy to it a first time and then have to prophesy into another realm to bring that fullness, do it. Because sometimes I prophesy a thing that God has said, and then I lay on top of it another thing that God has said, and on top of that another thing, and line upon line, precept upon precept, I'm building my future, Patsy. Now, there's things that the devil has said in your life that look like a lifeless boneyard. But I'm telling you today, speak to that lifeless boneyard. What God has empowered you to speak, and speak it boldly like, well, I'm going to try this and see what happens. Oh, shut up, fool. You don't deserve a new life. Get bold with it. Thus says the Lord God Almighty. Well, Pastor, how can I be that bold? Have I not said it, and will I not bring it to pass? Not one of his good promises has fallen short of performance. That's Kings. If that's under a lesser covenant with lesser promises, then under a new covenant with better promises, Ken, it's even gooder. It's so much gooder, it's more bestest yet. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, Rudy. You can release life. Brenda, you can release miracles. Judith, you can change creation itself. The bones had to obey him. The sinew and flesh had to obey him. The winds had to obey him. I would have loved to have heard. I don't know how many. He said it was a great army, so we know there were at least 100 or 2 individuals laying in that valley. I would have loved to have heard the sound of all of them, Patrick, sucking wind at the same time, that first breath. And then seeing the look on their faces, they're looking around, remembering how they died, but not sure how they got here. What happened next must have been miraculous. I just marveling at the thought of you changing your boneyards, of you breathing new life into those situations and seeing the power of God as you, God's representative, speak God's word, and in that moment become a participant, a partaker of the divine nature, and release God into that and see your health, your wealth, your joy, your peace, your family, your ministry, whatever it is, see it change and transform before your eyes. You are going to stir up the gift that is in you and change the course of your life. Father, I've delivered your word to your people. And this day I enter into agreement with them. All things are possible to them that believe. I enter into agreement with them. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We can do all things through the anointing that infuses us with divine ability. From this day forward, we're speaking resurrection life to the dead, dry bones of the areas of our life that have languished. And from this day forward, there will be a profusion of divine power and presence, changing and transforming and bringing together that which appeared lost but is now found. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and we decree our redeemed status to every realm of our life. You are the blessed of the Lord. You're endued with strength from on high. You're anointed with purpose. Power is in your words, and you change the impossible situations to align with your faith. And the people said,